Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been discussing the subject of what is spiritual marriage and family. And this is a very, very important subject for us to consider in this day when so many homes are going wrong. It is unfortunately true that even sometimes when people are born again Christians, they may not be following the principles set down in the Word of God for home and for family. When we're obedient to the Word of God, when we're led by the Spirit of God, when the Spirit gives us wisdom in making decisions and so forth and in setting standards and other things, we are going to have spiritual home life. And this is God's desire for all of us. Now, I want to emphasize again that when I speak of the word spiritual, I'm not speaking of church. Many of you who may be listening may be very religious, and I respect that. But religion is not what we're talking about. It is a genuine relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin. How vitally important this is in your life, that you have this saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may go to a church, but this saving relationship is apart from the church itself. This saving relationship is through the one who died for you on the cross. It's not through any other person. It's not through any ordinance or any ceremony of the church itself. It's not through the instructions of man, but it's the instructions from the Word of God, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so what we're talking about is based upon this saving relationship with the Lord Jesus, and then our obedience to the Word of God itself, that in this relationship with Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we now obey God in following His Word. And we're talking in these two messages about what children have a right to expect of their parents. We began this in the last message, and I want to continue this in this message as well. What do our children have a right to expect of us? What kind of people must we be? We've considered a number of things, and today I want to begin with the idea of spiritual involvement. Spiritual involvement. And spiritual involvement in a family is very important. First of all, the husband-wife relationship, where the husband and wives communicate with each other. They are very deeply involved in each other's lives. They have a bond between them. This bond grows stronger as the marriage relationship deepens, and as years go by, the bond grows stronger, and this tie is one that is very dear and very precious to them. My wife and I appreciate deeply the opportunities we have to pray together, to read God's Word together, to talk about spiritual things, to share our common concerns with each other. But this also has to do with the child in the parent-child relationship. Some of you may have a number of children. Some of you may have just one or two. And in our relationships with our children, this matter of involvement is very, very important. It means that we have a strong spiritual concern and interest in everything in the lives of our children. And the children have a right to expect this. We deeply, deeply care about what's happening in their lives. And we deeply care about the problems they're going through. In Genesis chapter 25, verses 27 and 28, we see again this thing demonstrated. And in many other passages of Scripture as well, we see this matter of spiritual involvement involved. Now, let's take another passage of Scripture altogether. 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, we find the example of a mother named Hannah. Now, this mother not only dedicated her child to the Lord, but even after dedicating this child to the Lord, she remained deeply involved in the life of this child. This child, of course, was living now with Eli in the temple. He was going to be one of the greatest prophets that Israel ever knew. But this mother remained deeply involved in his life. You'll see this in the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, we do not believe, of course, that Mary was divine in any way. We would never according to the Word of God, call her something like the Mother of God, because God has no mother. But nevertheless, she was a faithful, loving, tender mother to her child. And you'll notice throughout his life, his mother will appear. There will be various occasions, even during his ministry, when his mother will appear. She was with him even when he died on the cross. So she was involved in his life. And this meant a great deal to the Lord Jesus to have a mother like this. And I speak very respectfully of her. We deeply, deeply respect Mary. But we respect her as a human mother of the Lord Jesus, the mother, in other words, who bore him and whom God trusted to be this loving mother. So there's spiritual involvement. Then the next thing that we notice is this matter of spiritual authority and discipline. Spiritual authority and discipline. Now, I want to be very careful. When you study the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs is constantly dealing with the matter of discipline. It's mentioned a number of times in this passage that we're going to cite. Proverbs chapter 3, 11 and 12, then chapter 22, and many, many other sections of the book of Proverbs. Discipline is mentioned. When you think of discipline, you sometimes think in terms of sternness and great authority. I believe in loving discipline myself. I believe in discipline with all my heart. A child needs to be told that there are certain standards he must follow and that there are consequences if he does not follow the standards. When we come to the subject of discipline, and we will in this series of messages, but when we come to this subject of discipline, we will learn some of the methods of discipline besides just spanking the child. There are other methods of discipline that we could also use. But in discipline, whatever the method might be, there has to be still authority. But with the authority, and this is what I want to say, with the authority comes a Christian conduct and a Christian approach to the child. The child must see that there have been spiritual approaches made to him, even in discipline. And so we call this spiritual authority and discipline. And this is different from simply the discipline of the world. It is not discipline in anger. It's not discipline in just frustration of the parent trying to get back at the child. But rather, it's discipline which has to do with the training of the child and the raising of the child and the control of the child's life so that this child is headed in the right direction. So the child knows exactly what is expected of him. But he knows that the parent who is expecting these things of him has a tender, loving relationship with him. This child dearly loves him and is trying to seek to keep him from going down the wrong path in life, to keep him from going down a destructive path. And so the parent has a responsibility to stop the child, to check the child's progress, in other words, in the wrong direction. So there's spiritual authority and discipline. It is discipline, but it's discipline in love, but it is firm, and it is based upon the Word of God itself. The next thing we notice, spiritual principles and standards. Now, sometimes children do not like to be held in check. I'm sympathetic to the child in this, but I'm not in agreement. In other words, I can understand how a child feels. But a child can simply not be permitted to go the way he wants to go. A child will go in a destructive way if he goes the way he wants to go. In schools, he's going to be affected by unsafe classmates. He's going to be affected by unsafe teachers in a public school, for instance. And these teachers are going to influence his life. He's going to learn destructive patterns of life from other people around him and from society itself. And he will try to imitate these patterns. He gets on the computer. He's going to be watching the wrong things, doing the wrong things with his life. And so it's the responsibility of the parent to set principles and standards before this child. The child is expected to follow. These principles and standards begin right there in the home. And they will be a guiding influence and a controlling influence in the life of the child. The child learns from the earliest age, these are the standards we parents live by. In other words, we parents expect my wife and myself to live by these standards as much as we expect these standards of you. So we expect you to live by these standards, and you may not violate these standards and these principles from the Word of God. And of course, these standards are taken from the Word of God, whether you get them from the book of Proverbs or from any other book of the Bible. You're taking these standards from the Word of God itself. Now, these are not simply legalistic standards, long, long lists of rules that we lay down for the child, which may not even be scriptural in nature, but rather these standards are clear principles laid down in the Word of God. And the child is not permitted to violate these standards. As long as he lives in the home, he's expected to keep these standards. And these are taught in loving, tender ways. Then, of course, we're also building this child up as a person. We're building this child up as a person. Now, what does this mean? It means we're encouraging this child along the way to develop his talents, his personality, to be everything God wants him to be in life. I remember when I was very young, my children cannot believe this was ever true, but it was. But when I was very young, I was extremely, extremely shy. In other words, I could not really communicate with people. I was simply a shy little boy. And I remember I had a mother who encouraged me. My mother especially was a tremendous influence on my life. My father was too, but my mother was an influence in different ways. My father often would be an example to us of care and patience and loving concern. But my mother took a direct influence in my life. She took a direct part in my life. And so she built up my self-confidence. And some people don't believe in this, but I do. I believe a child needs to have self-confidence unto the Lord, of course. He belongs to the Lord Jesus. He's trusting the Lord Jesus as a Savior. But he needs to develop the confidence that with God's help, he can do what's expected of him. He can speak publicly. He can do other things. He can play a musical instrument or do almost anything, developing the talents that God has given him. So we're building up a child all the time. A child sometimes will be put down. We use that phrase in English, be put down by other people outside the home. But when he comes home, he has parents who believe in him, who have confidence in him, under the Lord's hand, of course, and are going to build him up as a person in every way. And then another thing that's very important in the life of the child, and that is that there is spiritual guidance in the life of the child. We're guiding this child at every step of the way. No matter what the age of the child might be, the parent is there, hands-on, so to speak, guiding that child in the direction he should go. The child never wonders about the direction of his life because the parents have the responsibility to give their child the help and the guidance with problems they have, the daily decisions they need to make, the things they face in life concerning playmates, amusements, honesty, and other things, guidance concerning temptations they face daily. Whatever it might be, the parent is there guiding the child in the child's life. And this is so important in the life of the child. If the parent is not there, someone outside the home is going to be guiding that child. That child is going to get guidance from somewhere. It may be the wrong guidance. It may be satanic guidance. It may be guidance that will take him away from everything the parent holds dear, everything spiritual, everything that is precious and dear to God. One other thing I want to share concerning what we're doing with this child. We're also teaching this child, again, spiritual honesty. Now, this is what a child can expect of the parents now. We expected honesty of the child himself. And now, in the parent-child relationship, the child can now expect guidance from the parent, but this child can also expect absolute honesty from the parents. Here's the parents will keep the same standard they expect of the child. The parent never permits the child to lie to the parent. But the child also can expect that the parent will never lie to the child, not about anything. Now, I realize in life there are some things we simply cannot share with our children that are private between husband and wife. All right, tell the child that. never let the child know. There are certain things we cannot share with you, but we're not going to lie to you about these things. We're going to share with you what we can, what is rightfully the possession of the child, in other words, things that the child needs to know and can know. We will share those things with you, but certain things we will not share, but we will not lie to you about those things. Now, many times we try to spare the child involvement in the problems the parents face, some of the things they're going through. I think many times a child needs to know these things. These things need to become family concerns, family burdens, let's put it that way. And the child needs to know that the parent is willing to share things the child himself or herself can pray about, can be concerned about. We don't want to overburden a child with our problems, but many times it's good for these problems to be family problems. Problems the whole family is praying about, is working on, is concerned with. And so this matter of spiritual honesty is very important. Genesis 27, where the mother lied to her husband, taught her child to lie, is an example of this. Romans chapter 12, verse 17, we're to always be honest. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and 20, and many other passages teach us concerning honesty. May we as parents be everything God wants us to be in our relationship with our children. And may some of these qualities be true in our lives. These are things that children can expect of their parents. I want to continue with this in the next message, and then I will conclude this particular part of our series of messages. May God help you to be everything your children need in their lives. May your children be able to trust you in every way and be able to expect from you the things that they need you to be to them. May the Lord bless you, each one.